Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke as we continue on in our series in the Gospel of Luke. We're getting closer and closer to the day where Jesus is crucified for the sins of mankind to give us a way of salvation. This morning we're going to be looking at the Jesus on trial. And if you know a little bit about your Bible, you know that this trial really wasn't fair. You think about when trials happen and when you go to court, you're looking for two things. You're looking for truth. You want justice. And if you're the one that's done something wrong, you're hoping for a little bit of mercy too sometimes. I know that truth is important, and that's the idea of this morning's message. The title is Jesus is on Trial, but we're going to look at truth, and it comes from this thought that we know that Jesus went through the religious leaders, and Jesus also had the opportunity to be tried by Pilate. It also was interviewed and tried by Herod, and Pilate said some really interesting things in this passage, in his times, in his study. And I look a little bit at the Pilate. To be honest with you, all four Gospels tell a little bit different parts of the story, makes a complete whole. We're not going to take time looking at all four of them. It just would take a long period of time to do that. But there's some really important things in some other spots. We'll go back and forth, and I'll read some verses from the other spots that try to give a good understanding of what happened on Jesus' trial. But there is a couple verses I'd like to make you aware of in the book of John where we get our main thought from. In John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38, the multitude had brought Jesus to Pilate and wanted Pilate to condemn him to death. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." He even says, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." So Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" And this morning, I like to look at this thought about what is truth, look at some different things that have to deal with truth, and kind of from this story, what truth reality is. Christ had done nothing wrong. Jesus had done nothing wrong, but the wicked men of the religious leaders of the day in that time, they were bent on him being crucified. And they even convinced Pilate of that. And there's some different things that truth did not win out. Justice did not win out in this trial. And the thoughts behind this morning's message is, what is truth? And what are you going to do with the truth? Because we believe, as the Bible teaches, that the word of God is truth. What he says is truth. Many times in the day and time we live in, they think that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Much worse, according to some polls, over 67% of adults agree there's no such thing as absolute truth. And over even 52% of Christians think that truth is relative. And truth is based on your circumstances, and truth is based on your situation. But the Bible says it's truth. Even Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit was going to come, he was going to be the Spirit of truth. He said it three different occasions. Even in John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And the truth was the word of God. He even says in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is truth. Okay, so what is truth? And what are we going to do with it? So let's pick up where we left off last week. We saw that Judas had betrayed him. We saw that he was being taken from the garden to, we know, from Caiaphas' house to Annas' house. We're not going to get into all the historical details. They're interesting to learn and interesting to study. But we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 22. We're going to pick up in verse 63. What is happening in the early morning hours before daybreak and before they even have their trial? One thing I want you to notice in Luke chapter 22 and verse 63, it says, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him." So they have already began beating Jesus at this point in time. They have not had a trial yet. They have not had the Sanhedrin meeting together, but he has already been condemned to die. And one thing I want you to take notice of, there's a lot of illegal things that happens during this trial. It's done according to the Jewish law. It's not done at the right time. It's not done at the right place. It's not done with the thought of that every man is innocent until guilty. No, he's already been condemned. They even go out and they hire false witnesses to come in and make false accusations about Jesus. Over and over, you're going to see they break law after law after law just to get people to agree that he is condemned to die. So you see here in verse number 63, they mocked him. and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy who it is that smote thee. And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Another thought I want you to bring into this idea as we're speaking the message. Every single person that they are, these men that are mocking him, these men that are smiting him, these men that are condemning him to die, someday will stand before Jesus again. Actually, they'll be on their knees before him. So just as these people are condemning him and being the judge of today, there will be a day and time, according to what the Bible says, that they'll stand before him. Look what it says in verse 66, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? So it's something that they captured him in the darkness of night, and when it became day, they began this trial, and they asked him this question, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. He's saying, if I tell you the truth, you're not going to believe anyway. There are some people who do not want the truth. There are some people who use the truth as convenience for their own desires. And he's saying to him, look, you're not interested in the truth. You have this false trial that's going on at the illegal times and the illegal places. And you're bringing false witnesses and lying to me, but you want me to tell you the truth. He says, if I tell you, you're not going to believe anyway. And look, he continues on. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. He says, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, you're not going to let me go. Then he says, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. So he answers their question about, you see the word Christ there is in the representation of the Messiah. And he says the Son of Man is also another name that was used throughout the Gospels of recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. And then he says he's going to be at the right hand of the power of God. Now, these religious leaders would have been men who knew the Old Testament pretty much frontwards and backwards. They would have been men that known when he said he was sitting on the right hand of the throne of God that he was in an established place, an exalted place, and that someday that they were going to be judged by Jesus. He was reminding them of that. He's letting them know that. He's helping them understand that. Then say all, they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And he's answering, as you have said. He's saying, yes. Then it says in verse 71, and they said, what need we any further witness, for we ourselves have heard his own mouth. Now, Luke is probably the shortest of all the accounts of the trials. And like I said, because of time, we're not going to look at all of them because there's some important things that I want you to understand. But what the other gospels tell us that the high priest, he ripped or rent his mantle, which is also against the law. And they begin that night before they ever take him to Pilate, they begin once again hitting Jesus. And then they began to take him to Pilate's house. So why would they take him to Pilate's house? Well, the Jews believe that he should die. He deserves to die. He's made him as if he was the Son of God. And that was, according to law, that meant he should die if he wasn't telling the truth. The difference is, he was telling the truth. They just chose to reject it. And you consider that Pilate is the Roman governor or the procurator of that day of the area of Jerusalem. They couldn't put Jesus to death. Now, if they were not under Roman rule, they would have just went out and stoned him and put him to death on their own. But according to the scriptures, he was supposed to be given into the hands of Gentile men, and he was supposed to be hung on a tree. So they had to listen to Pilate. They go into Pilate, and as it says in John, if you look at as they go to Pilate's house, they won't even enter into Pilate's house. Passover is happening in a couple days. And according to their religious beliefs, they could not enter into the house of a Gentile. So because of that, they stayed out and they brought it to Pilate and said, Pilate, this man needs to be crucified. But they're not using the charges of the fact that he's the Son of God or claims to be the Son of God. Pilate could care less about their religious squabbles or religious heresies. He needed something that was going to be said that he is against the Roman government, and because he's against the Roman government, he has deserved to die. I think it's interesting that they get to Pilate's house. They won't go inside. They'll hire false witnesses. They'll tell lies. They will have the trials at the wrong time. They'll break law after law after law. But when the truth was convenient for them, they said, oh, no, we can't do that. That would be wrong. Truth is truth no matter what. But sometimes people work against truth when it's convenient for them. here when Pilate's going to have a conscience here, and he's going to say, I find no fault in him at all. He's going to say it multiple times, but then it comes inconvenient for him when they say, if you do not crucify this man, you are not a friend of Caesar's, you are not a friend of Rome. Let's look what it says in verse number 1. And the whole multitude, you get this idea, there's a number of people of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this fellow perverting the nation. Once again, they won't go into his house, but they'll lie about him. Perverting a nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. We look back a few chapters, that was just a lie. He did not say that. He said, render unto Caesar what was Caesar's. Saying that he himself, Christ, a king, is Christ the king. He did say he was a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. Rome would have no problem with Jesus. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, Pilate takes Jesus. Jesus has already been beaten, probably beyond recognition in the face, and he takes him, and Pilate brings him into his corridors, into an inner chamber, and he interrogates him individually. Now, you think about it, Pilate probably in his religious and his robes of being an authority and even a governor of the area, Jesus in a peasant robe with his face all beaten up, he looks at him and says, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Once again, as thou sayest. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. So the point of the matter is, he says, look, I don't find any fault. I don't think he's guilty. He should be set free. He's kind of, in a sense, saying he is not guilty of anything. He should be set free. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether this man be a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, and who himself was at Jerusalem at the time. It's the Feast of the Passover. It's the biggest time of year for Jerusalem. So not only was Pilate there who lived in Caesarea, he was there to make sure everything was okay. Herod is in his Galilean area making sure everything was okay. So Pilate doesn't want to have to deal with him. He doesn't want to deal with the religious leaders. He doesn't want to have to deal with this thought of whether or not Jesus was guilty or not. So he tries to disown the issue by sending him away. And as soon as he knew that, it says in verse number 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see of him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Now Herod and Pilate both would have known who Jesus was. Both would have known that he was a man that taught good things and healed many people. They would have had spies or people that would give him reports. He was excited, hoping that Jesus would do some type of miracle. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus did not respond to him. He was as a sheep that was dumb, that was led to the slaughter. Verse number 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. During this time, he was also beaten once again. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. It's amazing how many times when people are not willing to take the matter of the truth that they become friends. It's amazing how sometimes people can become friends because they don't believe in truth or they hate Jesus. Verse number 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. He says, I don't find anything fault. No, nor yet Herod. He says, neither one of us have found him anything that's worthy of death. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I therefore will chastise him and release him. Now, chastising means that he will have to be whipped. Whipped 39 times. Most men don't even make it through that. But Pilate is saying, I don't think he's guilty of death, but to appease you. Doesn't matter. I think he's innocent. He should be set free. You've already beaten him enough. He says, but to make you happy, I'll go ahead and chastise him. He says, I'll go ahead and beat him. There's red flags there. If a man is innocent, why is he going to be beaten? But that doesn't matter. Truth is not mattering in this court case. Truth is not being found. Verse 17, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. He says, look, according to the feasts and the traditions, we released one of the men. I'll beat him and I'll send him off. Verse 18, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Now Barabbas is someone who actually is guilty of the things that they're accusing Jesus of. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause in death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Under one of the times that he turns around and he talks about it, in the book of John, the religious leaders say he has been guilty of the law and he deserved to die because he had made himself as the Son of God. It's found in John chapter number 19. And when they heard that, Pilate was fearful of that, and Pilate goes into the room, and once again, I'm not quoting the scriptures, but he goes into the room and says, tell me where you're from, and Jesus is silent. Pilate looks at him and says, you know, are you going to be silent to me? I had the power or authority to crucify you or to set you free. And Jesus says, you have no power at all except it was given to you from heaven above. And he understands that no matter what happens with truth, truth is always going to happen. Truth will always prevail in the end. Nothing was going to stop the ministry of Jesus. He was going to the cross to die for the souls and the hearts of mankind. But he was telling Pilate the truth. He was revealing Pilate to the truth that it was him that was in control of the whole situation. Verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, why, what evil have he done? I have found no cause of death in him, and I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. They even made the threat, telling Pilate that if they did not crucify him, that he was no friend of Caesar's, which meant he was going to have to answer to Rome for this. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the rest of the sermon and speak to our hearts with the few minutes that are remaining. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight, today. Lord, we know we've read a lot of verses today. So much truth in this story. Help us to get these few points. Help us to drive it home today. There is truth. The Bible's filled with it. What are we going to do with it? Religious leaders did not care for it. They caused it to be done whatever way they wanted. Help us not to be guilty of that. Pilate cared more about his position than truth. Help us never to be guilty of that. Help us to see the truth and be willing to embrace it. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's three points I want you to think about this morning. The first point I want you to see here is some people don't care about the truth. Some people don't care about the truth. And it's pretty easy to go to the religious leaders. You see their story. They did illegal thing after illegal thing after illegal thing. They went and hired false witnesses. They did everything they could. They even forced Pilate to do this. They found him guilty of complaining, being the Son of God. And then they go to Pilate and say, you know what? He's perverting the nation. He is stirring up the people. He is considering himself to be a king. They're making all these lies up. And they don't care about the truth. They only care about their ways. If they get their point across, they take the truth and they twist it around to say, here it is, accept it, you got to believe it. Christian, in that word, in that Bible, that the word of God that you hold in your hands, there is truth. And there are so many times that people want to take the truth and they want to twist it around and they want to make it say what they want to say to help them with their causes, to help them with their purposes. The story told that Pilate and Herod both said he was free, that he should have been set free. They even said Pilate later on in the book of Mark says he knew that he had been delivered for envy's sake, that the religious leaders, they were envious of Jesus. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? There are some people that just do not care about the truth. They will say whatever they can to get their point across and get their agenda done and get things accomplished their way. And I want to help you understand something. Christians are guilty of that sometimes too. How many times inside our own house we'll maybe use one verse out of context, even though we have not been living for God and we haven't been doing the things God wants us to do, and say, oh, no, no, no. It says wife's supposed to submit. Husbands are supposed to obey. Husbands are supposed to love. Children are supposed to obey and respect. You know, we make it, we take scripture and we apply it to ourselves in our own areas, and we sit there and say, here it is. This is why you should listen to me. This is why it's right. Don't get me wrong, our houses should be filled with scripture. Our houses should be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But when someone who's been living wickedly and evil and has a horrible attitude and hasn't been living for God tries to take the Bible and tries to construe it to make it sound like, here, this is truth, you need to deal with your heart issue first. Some people just don't care about the truth. They only care about doing things that are going to cause their agenda to go forward, and that's what happens with these religious leaders. Be very careful. The Bible is truth in its entirety. The Word of God is there, and it is quick, it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us, to helps us and to encourages us to live what's right and do what is right. Don't use the Bible as some type of way of trying to get your agenda done. The Bible is there to get God's agenda done. The Bible is there to get God's work done here on this earth. It's sort of like we've been talking about praying on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about prayer is not us trying to get our will done up in heaven. Prayer is God trying to get his will done here on this earth. And as we submit ourselves and give ourselves over to him, Christian, I want you to understand that some people don't care about the truth. But as a believer, we should care about truth. We should care about what is right. We should care about those things that are honoring and pleasing to God. These religious men were people that would sit and their high seats and wear their high priestly robes and says, you know, you should follow after me, you should listen after me, you should do all these things. But they are wicked inside. They used the truth only when it was to their advantage. And with no truth, there will really be no justice. Second thing I want you to see about is not some people don't care about the truth. Second thing I want you to think about, some people care more about position than truth. Some people care more about position than truth. Now, if you go back and you study history a little bit, and I spent this week looking a little bit at it and just trying to understand all these different things. Pilate and the Jews were not friends. They didn't really like each other. On more than one occasion, they had actually rioted against Pilate and the things that he had done. Pilate, remember, we looked back earlier in the book of Luke, that they saying that he was the guy that had soldiers that would dress up during a Jewish feast time and murdered many of the Jews. They really did not like Pilate. And as Pilate was trying to release them, he turns around and he says that he needs to release them, but they said that he was not going to be a friend of Caesar. Think about what it says in John chapter 19, verse number 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever make himself a king speaketh against Caesar. On two different occasions, Pilate, according to history, had made the Jews very upset, and they had rioted. They had even had gone to the emperor complaining about Pilate. Pilate really could not use another black mark or black check on his list. Pilate was afraid that if he did the true thing, he did the right thing by letting Jesus go, that the Jewish religious leaders would once again riot, the religious leaders once again would cause problems, and Pilate might lose his position. So Pilate, knowing what the truth is saying it on more than one occasion, saying, he's innocent, but because of his position, he was a coward. He bowed out. He chose convenience over conscience. And some people care more about their position than the truth. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? We should always choose the truth. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's times where it'd be easier just to tell what we consider a little white lie, which I don't think there really is a such thing. But truth is what changes things. The third thing, and this is where I like to focus most of our time, is the truth must be dealt with. Even though that day Pilate, in his own power and the authority he's given to him, even though Jesus said, you shall have no power except it was given to you from above, even though that day Pilate chose to give the sentence of let him be crucified, as we saw, it doesn't stop there. There's a day and a moment when Pilate would stand before Jesus. He'll stand before the great white throne judgment to see whether or not his name is written down in the book of life. Not only Pilate, but those those soldiers that were known for cruelty that beat Jesus, covered his face, and then would take the palm of their hands and just hit him over and over and over and say, prophesy who did that. They'll stand before him someday. Those religious leaders, the Annases and the Caiaphases, and those Sanhedrin, the 70 members that convicted him, they'll all stand before him someday. But not just them, we will all stand before him someday too. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? There's a truth there. There's truth that we must deal with. There's truth that no matter how much we try to disguise it, no matter how much we try to disclaim it, no matter how much we try to ignore it, there is a truth that we must deal with. Pilate, face to face, personal, maybe the last man that Jesus had a personal conversation with before he was crucified. The last person to talk with him one-on-one, had the opportunity. The Son of God is sitting right there. Pilate knows there's something different about him. Pilate knows what the truth is, but Pilate chooses to say no. I want you to consider four things that Pilate did that day to try to get rid of the truth. The first thing I want you to think, he wanted to disclaim the truth. He wanted to disclaim it. You know, sometimes there's truth that we had to deal with. In John chapter 18, the Jewish leaders bring Jesus to Pilate. And you know what he says? You take him, you deal with him. He tried to disclaim it. In John 18, verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them. He says, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. He's saying, we don't have to tell you what's wrong. We just said he's guilty. Then said Pilate unto him, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The first thing he did, Pilate says, look, I see the truth. I know why you're doing this. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm disclaiming it. I'm saying, you take it. You deal with it. Sometimes people do that. Sometimes when it comes to Christianity, you come to the truth that Jesus says, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. People disclaim that and say, oh, that works for you. That has nothing to do with me. Leave me alone. What are they doing? They're taking the truth and they're disclaiming it. They're saying, hey, I don't want anything to do with it. Does that mean that someday they're not going to die and stand before Jesus? No, they're still going to die, and someday they're going to stand before Jesus as King and as Lord, but they're disclaiming the thought, I don't have to deal with that truth. We all must deal with that truth. We all must come to the realization that there is truth we must deal with. Not only does he disclaim the issue, he also tries to dismiss the issue. You say, what do you mean? You know, Pilate takes Jesus. He hears the religious leaders. He says, I find no fault in him. He should have let him free. Probably should have put those guys in prison for beating up Jesus unlawfully. But what does he do? He hears that Herod is a man he was under Herod's jurisdiction. So he dismisses the issue. What does he do? He says, okay, I don't want to have to deal with this truth. I'm going to dismiss it. I'm going to give it to Herod and let them deal with it. That's what some people do with the truth also. The Bible's there. The truth is there. It's in front of us. And some people just dismiss it. Some people say, let them deal with it instead. It's my parents' responsibility. It's my grandparents' responsibility. It's the preacher's responsibilities. It's somebody else's. They dismiss it, but that doesn't mean the truth is going to change. The third thing that Pilate tries to do, he wanted to discuss it with Jesus. He goes in on three different occasions and says, you know, who art thou? Where are thou from? You know, he knew the truth from the beginning, but he wanted to sit down and he wanted to have a discussion and say, look, I know you're saying that you're the Son of God or this is not your kingdom. I know that you're not guilty. I know you haven't done anything wrong. Can we discuss this? Is there a way to make the religious leaders happy, make me happy, and make you happy? Can we discuss this? Can we work this out? And the reality is some people want to discuss truth. They don't want to believe what the Bible says, but they want to have discussion. Let's discuss this truth. Well, what about this and what about that? But like Pilate said, what is truth? He knew he was innocent after the first time. He didn't even want to deal with it. He wanted to dismiss it. He wanted to disown it. And he tried to. He tried to just discuss it. Truth is truth. What is right is right. What are we going to do with it? We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the Scriptures. But all we want to do is sit and talk and say, okay, what's right and what's wrong? I know it's a pretty archaic view. It's an old-fashioned view. But if the Bible says it, I think we should believe it. Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with it. He rather discussed it. He even told the religious leader, okay, guys, I want to make you happy. I'll go and I chastise him. I'll take this huge whip and we'll have a trained soldier that will take and hit him with it for 39 times. It will mar up his body. It will scar up his body. He might not even live through it. And they're like, no, he needs to crucify. He needs to be crucified, crucified. They didn't care. They don't. Truth is truth. Those that do not want the truth will never compromise. They might act like at the beginning, oh, yeah, that's okay. As long as we come to some type of compromise, you can't compromise the truth. It's either right or it's wrong. Fourth thing he does, he tries to distract the issue. I don't know how many times when I've been out soul winning and trying to talk to somebody about their soul and they want to bring up a question of distraction. What about this or what about that? And I understand people have questions and people want to, and we shouldn't hide from questions, and I don't know everything. So what does Pilate do? He does not want to crucify Jesus because he wants to hold to a portion of the truth. He tries to distract it. He says, what about Barabbas? I will release Jesus so Barabbas can die because Barabbas was a murderer. He was actually the one that was stirring up, he was probably a zealot. He was the one that stirred up the trouble. Some people, he said, if you go back and you study out his name, some people think he was someone who even claimed maybe to be the Messiah because the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah at that time, according to the Daniel prophecies. And he was someone who had stirred up the Roman government and the Jewish people about going and attacking the Roman government. For sedition, he did stir up the people. He did maybe consider himself to be king. He says, there's no way they're going to say that we should let Barabbas live and Jesus die. So he tries to distract the issue. He says, okay, here you go. You have a choice. Would you rather have Jesus, who hasn't done anything wrong, or Barabbas, who is this horrible criminal? Which one do you want? And they're crying out, we want Barabbas, we want Barabbas, we want... What's he trying to do? He's trying to distract the issue. He's trying to still discuss it. He's trying to say, hey, look, I don't want you to focus on the truth. I don't want to have to deal with the truth. But instead, he's not as bad as Barabbas is. Let's get over here. So many times people try to distract that. And even in our Christian lives, sometimes we'll say, hey, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. At least I don't go out there and get drunk. At least I don't go out there and be an abuser. Why can't I do? What's the truth? Don't distract the issues. Don't look at something else and somebody else and say, hey, I'm not like that person. The Bible speaks to us. The Bible is what we hold to our standard. The Bible is what we say is truth. There is truth. We must deal with that. We must come to the point and realize what is truth and what am I going to do with it? Am I going to try to disown it or disclaim it? Am I going to try to dismiss it? Am I going to try to discuss it or distract the issues? Last but not least, he tried to disown the issue. In Matthew 27:24, the Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. So the way the story goes, they brought out a basin of water, and he washes his hands, says, I'm innocent. He knew the truth. He had the ability to be able to be the judge and have the truth prevail, but he says, nope, I'm washing my hands of it. Did that make him innocent? It did not. It didn't make him innocent to the Romans. It didn't make him innocent to Jesus. It didn't even make him innocent to the Jewish people. He had failed in providing what was necessary and what his job was to do, which was to try Jesus according to truth. He says, I have nothing to do with it. There are people today that say they're atheists, and they say, I want nothing to do with God. Someday they will stand before him too. Just because people try to disown the issue does not mean that it's going to change the truth. No matter what happened that day, whether Judas had betrayed him or not, whether Peter had denied him or not, whether or not the religious leaders had found him guilty or not, Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Truth was going to prevail. Pilate had to make a decision for himself. He even asked this question, and it's found in the book of Mark, and I believe it's found in the book of Matthew. He says, what then shall we do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What then shall we do with Jesus? And I know I've preached messages over the years. I've been here for about 15 years. I remember as assistant pastor, I preached that message on a Sunday night. What then shall we do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? There is truth that is here. What are you going to do with the truth? Pilate had a chance to let Jesus go and let Jesus be free. What do you do with him? He said, I'm going to dismiss the issue. I'm going to distract the issue. I am going to disown the issue. It has nothing to do with me. They're all lies. He had to make a personal decision about Jesus Christ. And I tell you, every person in this room today has to make a personal decision about Jesus Christ. They have to come to the realization, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? What am I going to do with the truth? I know many of you would say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise the Lord. What are you doing with the truth he's given you? What are you doing with Jesus today? Are you sharing him with other people? Are you telling other people about him? Do you believe in the truth? Have you accepted the truth? Have you embraced the truth? Are you living the truth? What are you doing with it? Pilate here, the trial where you're supposed to have justice and you're supposed to have fairness, Jesus was beaten before he was ever convicted. He was mocked before he was ever convicted. Beaten by Pilate's soldiers, beaten by Herod's soldiers, mocked with a crown of thorns before he was ever convicted. Nothing fair, nothing honest, no truth at all. They chose to reject it. But what will you do with it today? What is truth? Some people say it's relative. I contend to you that it is, that the Bible is truth. And we should believe it. This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, the Bible says that there is a day where you'll stand before him. There is a day where you'll be found and judged according to what you did with him. What then should we do with Jesus? Put your faith and trust in him? The Bible says you get to spend eternity in heaven. If you reject him, the Bible says there's a horrible place called hell that was made for the devils and his angels. And that's where you'll spend eternity. What will you do with Jesus today? And Christian and believer, you have truth. What are you doing with it? People want to disown it, distract it. They want to discuss it. They want to dismiss it. It's truth. It's how we're supposed to live. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed.